Wow, huh? Does that piano player give lessons? Wow, I don't blame you. You play it great. It's just a joy to be here, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to come. The songs you sung, the worship hour, and the fellowship is well worth the ride. Now, I don't like to get off Cook Forest Road, but it's well worth the ride. As I say, my heart has been blessed, and I'm here to talk to you about something that is near and dear to me, and that's God's Word and the changes that it makes in your life and in mine. And that's what we're about. I'm going to give you a report of how God is using this ministry and the people in it to let it be known that He is God. And in these times and days, I think it's important that we know, let it never be said that we can never use that as an excuse when we come before our Maker and He asks us why He should let us come into heaven. We not have an answer for Him. And if you go there, folks, it's by His grace that you go, His love. And we've sung about that this morning, and we've experienced that here. Saying all that, I'm going home. That's what a lady told her boyfriend in the Central Republic of Africa. It all started when they was going on a business trip, and he had an important decision to make. Take his wife or his girlfriend. His wife. Or his girlfriend. He took his girlfriend. When they got to the hotel, she began to unpack. And when she got through unpacking everything, she turned around. She began to unpack. He noticed a blue book laying on the table. And he went over and picked it up. It was a Bible placed by the Gideons. Now, I don't know what scripture he read, but he was immediately convicted of the sin he was getting ready to commit. And so when she turned around and said, "That's it, everything's put up." He said, "This is wrong." He said, "We can't be here like this." So she said, "Fine, I'm going home." Packed up, called a taxi, and left. But the man had to stay for his business meeting. But every free minute he had, he read that Bible. When he left, he took it with him. When he got home, he ran to a nearby Christian church, told the pastor, said, "You got to tell me more about this man, Jesus, that I've been reading about in this book." Today, that man and his wife are Gideons, members of the church working for Jesus Christ. That's what Gideons do. Our purpose has been since 1899 is to tell the world about Jesus Christ. We're organized in over 200 countries. We print scripture in over 100 languages. We put these scriptures in places like hotels, motels, hospitals, convalescent homes. We give testaments to We give testaments to children in school, children in college. We give them to people in prison. We give them to emergency personnel. We give them to policemen. We give them to people in the U.S. services. In Reedsville, we can't go into schools. We can go into high schools. But, you know, sometimes the devil will use the truth to make a point. And one little boy got a testament, ran home, showed his mama about it. She got upset. An outfit called Freedom from Religion, headquartered in Wisconsin, wrote to Rockingham County School Board and said, "You can't give out Bibles." Well, the attorney for the school board was a Jew, and she said it's not worth the fight to stop them from coming in. And so the reason that could stop us from coming in was because we influenced the children. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole purpose of this book right here, is to tell people about Jesus, to saying, if you want to know, if you want to live for eternity, if you want to know what life is all about, trusting God. Trusting God. And on the way, but they do, they here of late, they've let us go back into the high school, but they put a table out before us, and we put testaments on that. We can't say nothing to them, but the student, but if he comes, if they come, and they will ask, "Is it free?" And they'll say, "Sure." And so they will get it. So God's Word is still getting into the public schools. We also put out a life book, and what this is we give it to young people, and And what they do is we've given out over. It's been about 4 or 5 years. It's been infected. We've given out over a million about 15 million. And that's what I'm here to report to you. With your help and with your prayers and your support, we have given out more than 2.5 billion Bibles. And it's a joint effort. We are members of evangelical churches. We attend church just like you do. And we come and we share with you how God is using the seeds that we're sowing. And with every scripture that we give out, it comes with a promise. God says, my word is going to accomplish where I send it to. It won't return void. And we see that in the lives of people. The gentleman had to make a decision. He made that decision. He was all messed up. But once he got there and he began to read God's word, he realized what a mistake he was making. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You help us. Churches help us to make purchases of Scripture and to place in the places that I told you about. And with every one, we get reports back of how God is using that Scripture, how God is using that Scripture to win people to Jesus Christ. Hebrews says it's powerful than any two-edged sword. You know, if you go back a little farther at the beginning, the fourth said, it's important that we tell people about Jesus Christ. It's important that we share people with Jesus Christ. The lessons that we learn here, the songs that we sing, should have a big influence on us when we go out into the marketplace. I was in a Bible distribution over UNCG. And a couple years back, and never in my life, I took a vacation day to go. And as we were out there, can I give you a testament? Do you know Jesus Christ? Can I share Jesus? I got a fairy tale book at home. I don't need that. Several walked by. Why don't you go home? Why are you doing here? But then I done heard that a right good while. But then to beat the dog, this real attractive lady walked by. And she came up and she said, do you have permission to be here? Do you know this is a public place? And I said, yes, ma'am, we do. And I said, I'm sure if you'll check with your security, they will show you that we are here by invitation and by their permission. And she said, well, I intend to do that. And I said, well, meantime, can I interest you in a testament that tells you about Jesus? No, I don't want it. I don't want you here. So a few more people walked by and had smart things to say, and I said, this is it. I said, I didn't take a day off work to be talked to the way I'm being talked to. So I began to put my Bibles back in the box and walk away. The shuttle bus came by. The driver of the bus pulled up and said, are you a Gideon? And I said, yes, I am. He said, well, get on this bus. And I wondered what he was talking. When I got on the bus, he turned around and he looked at the passengers and he said, this gentleman is a Gideon and he's giving out Bibles and that's God's word. And he says, I haul you people around every day and I know you need to know Jesus Christ. Now he's going to walk by you and I want you to take a Bible. I want you to take a Bible. And I said, wow, here was a gentleman. He hauled these people. He probably witnessed to them. And here I had an opportunity, and I was getting ready to walk away. So I gave out those Bibles, got back out, set my little table up, and started handing out Bibles. And that's what it's about, to know people, to know people. Let me tell you about this gentleman, Effie Timbaum. He was a nightmare. He hurt his parents. He hurt people about him. When he was 13 years old, he had to move out of the town that he lived in. He knew about Jesus, he knew about God, but his religion depended on a witch doctor. And he thought Jesus was someone that God had sent to show us how to live right. He didn't know him as his Lord and Savior. Well, he kept on living the people that he was hanging out with, and there he ended up in jail. And when his parents came to see him, they were crying, and he knew how he had hurt them. And so when he went back to his cell, it was a big open room, and all the prisoners was in that room. He noticed this guy who was in there for killing his wife. And he said, "What's that guy doing reading the Bible?" He said, "God ain't going to save him. He killed his wife." But he began to watch that guy, and he's watched him through the night. He went over and he asked him, and he said, "I'd like to read that Bible." So he gave it to him, and he read during the night. And as he was reading, he became convicted. And he got down on his knees and he prayed to God, "God, if you get me out of this place, I will serve you all my life." Well, he forgot about that prayer the next morning, but during the day they came and they wanted to know who Effie was. He said, "Here he is." He said, "Come with us." He took him to the warden's office, and when he got there, the old warden had these papers that he was signing and said, "You're released from prison." So he didn't say nothing. But when they let him go, he thought it was all a mistake. So he took off running because he didn't want them to change their mind. And so when he got to this open field, he prayed. He prayed to God to use him. Well, he believes in Jesus, and he gives credit to the Bible and to the Gideons and to the auxiliary. Another important part of the Gideon ministry is those Gideons who are blessed enough to have wives. I don't have one. God hasn't found a lady he wants to bless that much yet. But you know, they pray, and they give out Bibles to nurses, and they put to use in their ministry. It's a family ministry, and God uses it. We see the results. We see the results of what a scripture will do. People who it changes their mind. It's such a simple thing to do, is walk up to someone and share a testimony and offer them a scripture, but yet the results are incredible. Ben Gardner from Sheffield, Alabama, was a very successful lawyer. He had just spent a week in Washington, D.C. on a business trip, and it was Friday, and he was getting ready to go home. So on his last night in Washington, D.C., he was in his motel room, and he decided he would go down to the hotel bar and have a drink. But as he got up to walk, the door was kind of stuck, and when he finally got it open, he got to thinking about it. It wasn't a good idea that he go to no bar because he was a recovering alcoholic. So he turned on the TV to see what was on TV, and the TV wasn't nothing but snow and fuzz. Couldn't get a picture. So he went back over to his bed, laid down, opened the hotel drawer, looked in the drawer, and there was a Gideon Bible. What was laying on top, the devil don't give up. What was laying on top was a bar menu to the downtown bar. So he thumbed on, and at the bottom, he found the Gideon Bible. He began to open it up, and he began to read. As it says right here, this Bible gives advice and help and comfort and hope and instruction and warning, correction and direction, predictions and promises. He began to read that, but there was a page in there that had scripture that you were challenged to memorize. That night, Ben, he memorized John 3:16. Left the next morning. When he got home, he decided he would look through his house and see how many Bibles he had. He had 16 unread Bibles. Folks, read your Bible. Read it every day. As we was talking this morning, that's God talking to you. He's alive. If you read over in Hebrews, it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it gives you directions. It tells you, it's God. Says, so please, make sure you have a time to pray and to talk with God and let God talk to you. So Ben, he got home, he had 16 of them, and he began to read them. He began to read a little bit every day. At an Alcoholic Anonymous meeting, Ben was talking to Roger, and he said that he said that the Bible was either in my notes here, but anyway, he said the Bible was either the greatest hoax. Was either the greatest hoax that had ever been perpetrated, or either the most magnificent thing you could possess. Roger said, I don't know what a Bible is. I've never been in a church. So Ben went and bought him a Bible, and he gave him the Bible. On January the 31st, 1978, Ben wrote in his Bible, he said, the Bible, his Bible, I do now receive and confess Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm a Christian under construction, a new Christian under construction. And the thing amazes me about this, Ben's father was a Sunday school teacher. Ben had been in church all his life, but he never knew Christ until he took time to let Christ talk to him and tell him that he was lost. So a few months later, he was at a church camp. Someone tapped him on the back. It was Roger. And Roger told him, said, I've become a Christian now. I've been reading the Bible that you gave me. And so Ben credits the Gideon Bible with saving him and with saving Roger also. So it goes on. It goes on. In 1941, in December, the months leading up December the 7th, Gideon's placed over 50,000 Bibles. They gave these Bibles to military people, doctors, nurses. And one got into the hands of a young sailor when he was a baby. His dad left home. His mother, who was a nurse, raised him, and somewhere along the line, things got all messed up. He made it out of high school. He went and he joined the Navy. And he didn't tell nobody. He didn't tell nobody where he was. His mom didn't know where he was. She asked around. Finally, she said, someone said, they had gotten a letter from him. He's in Pearl Harbor. His mom went down to the Navy recruiter and said, I'll do any job that's to be done in the Navy if you'll just send me to Pearl Harbor. Well, she got there about the same time the Japanese did. Her job was taking dog tags off of dead soldiers. On the third body bag that she opened up was her son. And that afternoon, the chaplain bought his belongings by. In his belongings was a waterlogged Bible. And in the back of it, he had signed the back of it. And that's where you sign. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why did he sign the back of it? She didn't know. So she went and she asked the chaplain for a New Testament. And he gave her one. She took it home. She read it that night. Next morning when she got through, she signed her name in the back of the book. Listen to what someone has wrote and said about the Bible. It says there's no other book in history that has that kind of power, that the Word of God is indestructible. The Word of God, even when you cannot read it, for some reason it still has the resident of God on it to save souls. And that's what Hebrews tells us. Let me share with you real quick. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. That's God's word. No matter what. Every thought he couldn't be saved. Every thought someone couldn't be saved because they killed someone. Hey, God can save a murderer. God can save any sinner. His word gives us that promise. It's important that you read it and that you that you share it. That's what the Gideons do. We're regular people. We're professional people who have made a commitment to God to share a testimony and give someone the word. Give someone the word. And it is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's God's word. What more? If you go back at the beginning of the chapter, it says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us entering into rest, if any of you should seem to come short of it." You need to. The girl at the checkout counter. I'll fuss at her when she don't put my groceries in the bag right. And that's a good 10-minute argument right there. But you know how long it takes to witness to someone, to tell them about Jesus Christ and tell them how they can know him and give him. It takes, Gideon say it takes about 5 minutes to ask someone if they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and present them with a testament. It changes. It changes. And everybody ought to know. You know, what's the title of the song go? Every day I pass them by, I can see it in their eye. How many people do you see every day that you should tell about Jesus Christ? Oh, you're going to get rejected. On a walking trail, the Gideon sent a testament. And he said, share this. It was just one. I walked the walking trail, the Greenway in Reeville. I walked it twice. Asking people, do you know Jesus? Can I share with you? No. Finally at last, a guy sitting in his car, I said, can I tell you about Jesus? And he said, sure. He didn't accept him, but he took the Bible. So, you know, I hope he read it. One day we'll know. One day we'll know that he, but you know, we need to be sharing the Word of God. Let me tell you about Nancy Olson, Joyce Olson. She grew up in Georgia. She lived in a 4-room house with her mom and dad and 6 siblings. One day, her mom took her to the doctor, and the doctor came out and said, "Ma'am, your little girl is being hurt, and it's got to stop." Her father was sexually abusing her. Her mama listened to what the doc had to say, but come on home. She was running the family farm. So what she went about her business. This caused Joyce to become a chronic bedwetter. Her mother punished her, thought she could cure her by scrubbing her face in the school sheet and beat her with a curtain rod, and made her go to school without taking a bath. And she said on those hot Georgia days, she got pretty ripe. Her teacher fussed at her, "Go home, take a bath, and don't come back till you do." Well, she tried to explain to the teacher, and the teacher wouldn't listen to her. So the teacher made her sit in the back of the classroom, and And so one day at Chaplin, the Gideons were there. And there was a guy there who read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that we might have life, life abundant." And as he came up, he was handing testaments out. But on the table behind him was a full Bible. She said, "I want a big Bible." Bless his heart. He gave it. He gave her that Bible. He gave her that Bible. And she took it home. And she began to read it. She began to read that Bible. And she began. She began to pray for God, for someone to love her. She read her Bible every day. She didn't know what love was. She hadn't experienced her father sexually abused her. Her mother physically abused her, and her teacher verbally abused her. But God's Word told her about love. Her favorite chapter was found over in Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. It said, "Finally, brethren," let me start with 7. And he said, "In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And the thing that amazes me is I thought about Joyce. She wasn't in an ideal situation. Neither was Paul when he wrote these scriptures. God's Word, under the influence, Paul said things could be a whole lot worse, but I got God with me. Joyce found that to be true. She prayed for someone to show her love. She continued reading her Bible, and she continued going to churches. As a young lady, one day in church, a new gentleman came to church. It was a new preacher. And she kept on praying. And then one day he came and stood in front of her and asked her to be his wife. Joyce became a counselor for court. She got married, had 2 daughters, 6 grandchildren. And then her husband accepted a pastorate in Indiana, and she got a radio show, a TV show. She's wrote numerous books. She says that there are a lot of people out there. Listen to what she says about the Gideons. "The ripple effect of one Gideon who handed me God's Word still amazes me today. I was a child rescued by a Gideon. The world predicted my life going down one certain path, but thank God, he declared my day as his, and he redirected that path. The day a Gideon gave me a Bible in my hands, the legacy of the Gideons must go on. There are so many more who need rescuing." Now, how will it go on? Where will we go? We're in over 200 countries. What will be the next country that we'll go to? We have limited access to China, but we need God's Word for every 5 hands that reach forward for a Bible, 2 come back empty. I'm here for one reason today, is to share with you how God is using this ministry. I'm also here to ask you what our number one concern and need is prayer. Pray for open doors to countries and communities that don't have God's Word. I'm amazed. At last year in the Reedsville High Schools, they had media day, and they let us come in without saying a word to anybody. We gave out over 600 copies of God's Word. Let me tell you how God, even the librarian came out and asked for 4 copies to put in the library. Praise God. Only God can do that. And as I say, we're here. One way you can help, you might wonder how you can help. I notice you got a Gideon card rack out there. God bless you and thank you so much. This one is a thank you. We just celebrated Veterans Day. This would have been a neat card to send to a veteran thanking them. You can send them in memory. Flowers fade, but God's Word never fades. You can have your special day. We furnish you with a card and an envelope. This Bible right here costs $5. It has an average stay in a hotel, motel room, of reaching over 1,500 people in 5 years for Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says right here. I like this right here. I think it's a good description of the memorial of a hotel Bible. It says this Bible deals with every experience in life. It gives advice and helps comfort and hope, instructions and warning, correction, direction, prediction, and promises. Listen to this. This Bible was placed by the Gideon's card program as a tribute in memory of a friend or loved one to recognize a special occasion in someone's life, or it's a way to say praying for you. I never had thought about that. There's a country song out now, Bible in the Drawer. I forget who sings it, but I listened to it on YouTube. It might be worn out, wore it out. But, you know, it was placed in the back of a drawer, and someone who was contemplating in Indiana. There was a motel on the edge of a town in Indiana, and this Gideon, he rode by that thing at least twice a week and asked the owner of it, can I put Bibles in your motel? He had 12 rooms. Nah, I don't want that. One day he came by, and the hotel owner was tired of him coming by. And he says, I tell you what, I got 12 rooms. If you got 12 Bibles, I'll let you place them in those 12 rooms. If you got 13, if you got 10, you got to have exactly 12. Well, Gideon knew he had a box of Bibles, but he didn't know how many was in it. So he went out and he got the box. He had exactly 12 Bibles in that box. Placed them in the room. Next morning, the man's sister came walking in the hotel office there, and she said she had a gun in one hand and a Bible in the other. She said, "The gun I'm giving to you, the Bible I'm keeping. I checked in your motel last night to kill myself." That Bible was placed by someone like you, you and me. That Bible was sent in honor, in memory. You know, thank you. God's Word. I do thank you, brothers, for letting me come today. I thank you for the time you gave me. I thank you for letting me worship with you. If you ever give piano lessons, they got my number. I thank you for your friendship. I thank you for the love that you showed me today. God bless you, and God continue to use you to carry out his work here in this county. Thank y'all. Thank you so much. And thank you for the generous offering that you gave. Be assured that every nickel, every dime, every penny, every dollar will go to buy a scripture that will change somebody's life. Thank you.